We are to love then because God loves us first. Anyone who says, "I love God," and hates his brother is a liar, since a man who does not love the brother that he can see cannot love God whom he has never seen. So this is the commandment that he has given us, that anyone who loves God must also love his brother. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been begotten by God. And whoever loves the Father that begot him loves the child whom he begets. We can be sure that we love God's children if we love God himself and do what he has commanded us. This is what loving God is, keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not difficult, because anyone who has been begotten by God has already overcome the world. This is the victory over the world, our faith. And our gospel reading is from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus, with the power of the Spirit in him, returned to Galilee. And his reputation spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as he usually did. He stood up to read, and they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, for he has anointed me. He has sent me to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to the blind new sight, to set the downtrodden free, to proclaim the Lord's year of favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the assistant, and sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to speak to them. "This text is being fulfilled today, even as you listen." And he won the approval of all, and they were astonished by the gracious words that came from his lips. In a sense, we could say that the first line of the passage from the letter of John says it all, really. That is, we are to love God then, because God loved us first. We could put this a slightly different way and say, we can only love God because God first loves us. And there are, I believe, two aspects of this love of God. One is that God loves all, everyone, even the worst of sinners. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner, even the devil. The second is that the aim of God's love is to establish a relationship with the beloved in which love returns love. This is the flowering of true love, which is a right relationship with God. This relates to John's comment in his letter that anyone who says, "I love God," and hates his brother is a liar. How can I hate my neighbor and still claim to love God, who loves my neighbor unconditionally? The whole point of a loving relationship, such as that between myself and God, is that we are of one mind and heart. Not only am I therefore presenting a false image of my neighbor, whom God loves, no matter what he or she has done, but I am also promoting a false notion of God. No wonder John is so deeply concerned to correct this lie in his letter. The worst thing we can do, it seems, is to present a false or distorted perception of God to others. It is both a betrayal of God and a betrayal of our neighbor. The letter then goes on to point out that being able to love as God loves is akin to being begotten and born again. It amounts to a whole new life, what we call the life of grace. John then makes his opening point again, but in another and equally powerful way. He says that anyone who loves the God who graced him or her with the life of divine love will, as a matter of course, love God's child, that is, my neighbour, who is as much a child begotten by God as I am. If we turn to our gospel passage now, we can see that Luke underlines this truth of John's teaching, which of course John had learned from Jesus himself. And Luke does it in a particularly telling way, via a story. Jesus, the source of divine love for all, returns to his hometown of Nazareth to proclaim the good news of God to those who knew him and presumably supported him and his family when he was growing up. To be able to love truly requires that we know the truth about God and about ourselves. The truth about God that Jesus proclaims is the good news for the poor, the captives, the blind, and the downtrodden. What is the truth about the people of Nazareth that Jesus proclaims? Surely it is that this good news is being fulfilled even as they listen. That is, they are among the poor, the blind, the captive, and downtrodden ones in need of God's saving power. And here God is giving it. But this truth proves too hard to bear. The people are impressed by Jesus' teaching, but as the passage goes on to relate, beyond our reading for today, they refuse to see themselves from Jesus' perspective. They reject the offer of God's redeeming love and attempt to kill Jesus instead by throwing him off a cliff. But this hatred only exposes them as liars. They come to the synagogue professing that they love God, and here they are seeking to kill God's messenger of good news. It's interesting that this is the first story of rejection in Luke's account of Jesus' mission, a story which will climax in his death and resurrection. For all of us who, through our various forms of hatred, proclaim falsehood, both about God and about our neighbour.